The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Yes, Aisling Larkin is back with me, the TV chef and the mindful eating coach ahead of a very, very important Sunday. The clocks go forward, Aisling.
The clocks go forward? Is that this Sunday?
Yes, this Sunday. Oh, it's great.
It is.
It is. Sunshine. What else is on Sunday?
Oh, there is that important day. What's it called? Let me think. Mother's Day.
Oh, is that this weekend?
That is, yeah.
That's a kind of a made up thing, isn't it?
No, it's not. Will I tell you how it started? Do you want to know the story?
The Hallmark or something? No.
No, Hallmark robbed it in 1920 from a girl called Anna Jarvis. So Anna Jarvis had a mom who was an activist in the States, and she basically heard her mom one night say a prayer going, I wish somebody would just pay a little bit of homage and respect to all the work that mothers do.
All right.
So Anna's mom passed away, and Anna said, I'm going to remember her. So this was 2 years later. So she had a little service at their local church to remember her mom. She wrote a letter, kind of a little ode to her mom and all she'd done for her. And she encouraged other families to do the same for their moms. And on that day, she handed out white carnations. And this was kind of the very first Mother's Day. It was in May. And then she continued to do it every year. So she would continue to get families to write letters. Pink and red carnations were handed out to families who had a mom, and white carnations were handed out to anybody whose mom had passed. And she campaigned and campaigned until it was wrote into law in the States back in like 1940s that Mother's Day was going to be a day of, you know, a celebration in the calendar.
Okay.
So in the States, they celebrated in May. Here we celebrated in March. The twist of the story is a bit random in that Hallmark, florists, chocolate makers all jumped on the bandwagon, tried to rob it and the sentiment of what it was. So she ended up spending her last years fighting against Mother's Day because of what it becomes.
She wanted it to kill her own creation.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Interesting.
Ended up dying in a institution alone.
What a lovely, lovely story.
There you go.
Yeah.
But what are we taking out of that? It is about what we do for our moms. It's about just, I suppose, appreciation.
Okay.
Gratitude and appreciation. That's what it's all about. And simplicity, not consumerism.
So what are we talking about today in that context? How to treat your mother this weekend, is it?
Yeah, like, I mean, I've already, you know, seen little wrinkles of little cards maybe been made at home.
Oh, right, okay.
Very excited about. But it's about the little small gestures. Do you remember on Valentine's Day, we spoke about love languages?
Yeah.
And there's five different love languages, and there's, you know, acts of service, there's quality time, there's words, there's gifts, and there's physical touch. So there's five. So I think the first thing is to like take a minute and think about your mom or the mom in the world or whoever acts as that person in your world. What do they love? Do they love words and cards? So maybe write them a poem, write them a card, write them a song. Do they love acts of service? Make them a cup of tea, make them breakfast, cook them a lovely meal, do something really, really nice. And like I cook all of the time for everybody else.
Yes.
If anybody cooks for me or even gives me like a cup of coffee, I'm like, I am so grateful genuinely because I do it for everybody else.
If anyone is listening, all a cup of coffee. Park all the big plans, just make her a cup of coffee this Sunday. That's all she wants.
But like the thing is, sometimes we hear these great notions and I'm sure there's eye rolls already going, oh, she's telling the kids to cook for mothers on Mother's Day. Like if there's going to be any hint of washing up left, don't do it. Like mom doesn't want a lovely meal to have to be left to wash up.
If mom's not cooking, she has to wash up. That's the deal.
She gets the day off.
No.
It's her day
Yeah, but
off.
She usually does the cooking and dad will do the wash up. That's generally how it goes. So if mom is not doing the cooking, then mom's washing up.
No,
I'm sorry.
That's how it all for one. The kids and dad are doing it all.
I don't know about this.
Day.
I don't know about this.
One day.
Yeah.
Yes. So what I have come up with is some beautiful, simple recipes that can be done really, really nicely. We're
lovely.
Going to start with breakfast.
Okay.
Scrambled egg.
Yes.
What's the worst thing about scrambled egg?
Oh, when it gets dry. I hate dry scrambled egg.
And cleaning the saucepan after.
Oh, sorry. That's why, as you know, Aisling, I microwave scrambled egg.
Well, I have microwaved your scrambled egg.
Yes.
So I've taken inspiration from
Brilliant.
You. And I kind of went, okay, how can we make really good scrambled egg?
Just microwave it, folks. It's mental how people think, oh, I hate it. When I see my wife cooking scrambled egg, I say to her, I'm not cleaning that up. I'm not doing it.
Really?
Will you at least
soak the pan?
No, I would throw the pan out before I would, and buy another one before I would clean it. There's a perfectly functioning microwave in the kitchen. Use it.
Okay, well, I've done these in the microwave for exactly that reason, because nobody wants to be left with the wash up. There's a couple of tips to doing them in the microwave. I'm going to give you mine, and then if I miss anything, you can tell me, right? So crack your eggs first. I just do butter, real Irish salted butter, and three. So there's three eggs there. So three eggs, right? Lovely. Crack your eggs in. They're medium sized eggs. And then what you do is do it at intervals of like 30 seconds. So don't put it in for a full minute and a half or 2 minutes because you're going to potentially overcook it. So eggs are made of, the white is protein, the yellow is fat, and protein denatures. So it coagulates and it denatures. And that's why we get the texture that we get. But if you do it really slowly in increments. So there's a bit of a trend about this Japanese omelette, and the concept is old, but it's still the same. What happens is the parts around the outside of the bowl set first, and the inside is kind of like watery still. So you just take your spoon after 30 seconds, pull the outsides into the center, let all the liquidy bit then float to the outside, and then put it back in for another 30 seconds and finish it. Never season it before you cook it. Always season it at the end because the salt will draw the moisture and the water out, and that's what kind of tends to separate it a little bit, and you get the kind of the over dry and then you get those liquidy bits floating around in the end. So if you want to keep it glossy, kind of silky, velvety, I suppose they're kind of some of the top tips to do it really well. How do you rate it?
Delicious.
Top tip, well, go on. What
so my top tip as well is when you think there's another 30 seconds in it, don't do it.
Very good.
It stays cooking. It's so hot that it will cook away, and if you give it that final 30 seconds, you'll end up with dry.
Yeah, because by the time you get it from the bowl or the cup or whatever to the plate, it's that residual heat and that's penetrating all the way in through and it's going to finish cooking it. So exactly that, take it out undercooked. Want to talk to you about this soda bread. Soda bread is like the most Irish of Irish things. It is the simplest recipe. Like, I'm a firm believer everybody should know how to cook soda bread and a little brown bread and that's it. This is so easy for the kids. There's no, so look, this is it, right? Sorry, so I'm unwrapping it here as we go. So it's literally, it's like warm, still out of the oven.
Oh, lovely.
I just wrapped it in a tea towel. It's on a little bit of parchment paper. This looks like it's a regular loaf of bread, kind of shaped soda bread, but there's no cross cutting it. There's no kneading, there's no mixing because I want to make it as simple for kids and dad or whoever else as possible. So you are going to put 450 grams of flour into a bowl.
Okay.
Into that, you're going to put half a teaspoon of baking powder and soda powder. Baking powder and baking soda. Then you're going to put somewhere, and every flour kind of reacts differently, but around 500 mils of buttermilk.
Okay.
That's it. Stir it with a fork, with a knife, with a spoon, with your hand, whatever. It makes no difference. You basically dump it from the bowl onto the baking tray. Put it in the oven that's been preheated at 180, and all you do is put it in for 1 hour and your bread is done.
That's it.
Nothing else. Nothing else needs to be done. Don't glaze it. Don't brush it. Don't, just do nothing. And you see, like, it's so soft on the inside. You've got the little kind of pockets of the air bubbles in it. And like that works so well with your savoury, with your scrambled egg, or then if you've got a really nice jam, something like that. It's just really, really lovely.
Delicious.
I'm going to put that up.
So that's my kind of morning snack done. Breakfast and morning snack. Bit of jam
Mother's
on that
Day.
Soda bread.
Mother's Day. Yeah.
So now, what am I eating? What am I eating on Mother's Day for my
I want to talk about a really simple dinner. Like, I love this concept of tray bakes where you can put everything on one tray in the oven.
Yeah.
There's very little wash up. There's very little pots and pans. So we have Parmesan crushed roast potatoes, little baby ones. So they're smashed potatoes. We've got salmon with goat's cheese and pesto wrapped in streaky bacon. And we've got a few green beans on the side for good measure, right? So I'm going to talk you through each one.
Oh, the spuds are lovely.
Aren't they?
Yeah.
So they're one little bag of baby potatoes. They cook in the microwave. We're talking about the microwave a lot today. You see where I'm going with this though? I'm keeping the wash up like so simple. Cook them. So those little ones, you buy them in a bag. They can be microwaved in the bag. So again, you're half cooking them, part cooking them. Get a tray, put a bit of like vegetable oil, olive oil, whatever you have on it. Get that in the oven. Heat that up first. So
okay.
It's sizzling hot. So add needed for this part. Take it out and then you take those potatoes, pop them down, and then with the back of a fork or a mug, you smash them. So you just like smash each one.
Okay, yeah.
And so they're smashed. Little bit of salt and pepper over the top. Fresh rosemary. If you can get your hands on a little bit of fresh rosemary. If you can't, don't worry about it. You can use dried or none.
Yeah.
Cheese. Parmesan is best, but you could use a bit of cheddar if you only had cheddar. Singles. Grate your Parmesan over the top. And you've got your Parmesan, you've got your rosemary, and they take, like, they're really crispy and crunchy, and that's the way they're meant to be. They're almost a little bit overdone, but that's what you want. You want that really, really crispiness. So pop those in the oven for about 45 minutes. For the last 15 minutes, you're going to sit the salmon in on the same tray beside it.
Okay.
So salmon is such a winner. And there's a great little trick. If you take a fillet of salmon, so it's lengthways, and you cut a slit down lengthways, stuff it with anything you want. So think about the things that mom maybe likes. Does she like a tomato-y sauce? So you can use cream cheeses like your friend here. So your Philadelphia, your cream cheese. Mix that with a little bit of pesto, either red or green. couple of maybe sun blush tomatoes in
there.
Stuff that in. Then you've kind of got a little bit of a Mediterranean style chicken. You could go kind of Asian style with a bottle of teriyaki sauce from the supermarket.
Lovely.
Sesame seeds over the top.
Yeah.
My personal favourite, cut that slit in the middle, throw in little dots of butter, couple of little prawns, bit of dill.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah, really nice. Roast that off in the oven. Then just for an extra little twist, we've wrapped it in a little sheet of, or a little strip of crispy bacon, mm-hmm. or you can do parma ham. And that just adds, so it's about like, essentially not cooking, no skill in terms of cooking, no mess, but it's just how do you build those layers of flavour as you go that actually presents something that looks like you would get in a restaurant, but is so, so simple to do. Miso butter. We've spoken about miso lots of times. So
yeah.
Miso is this umami, depth of savoury. For so long, you had to go to the Asian supermarket to get it. But now you can buy it in all the big supermarkets. They sell it in little jars in the Asian aisle. And you just mix miso with butter. And
yeah.
just dot that on top of the salmon. And you won't know what it tastes like, but it just tastes extra delicious.
Okay.
And it's really, really clever one. So like they're really simple little things you can do with, like it's salmon. You're basically cutting open the packet, putting it on, slit down, stuffing it with something. And it's really, really nice. And like I said, those potatoes are such a winner as well. In terms of sauces, a lovely sauce to do is basically like 100 mils of cream with a dollop of pesto. Just put it in a saucepan and just reduce it down. So you're reducing that down. So it just forms a really nice sauce. You can buy in the supermarkets, their Hollandaise sauce was always really tricky or really chronic, to be honest. It was really bad. There's a couple of supermarkets now that are doing a finest range of a Hollandaise sauce and you just open it, heat it.
Okay.
Really nice with the salmon.
Lovely. Delicious.
Is it time for dessert?
Time for dessert, just about, yeah. Still have a bit of room.
I've got two lovely desserts. One of my desserts, I can't remember in all the years. We've been doing this 3 years, by the way.
Wow.
3 years this week or last week. Sometime, I remember.
Happy birthday.
Yeah, happy birthday to us. Chocolate brownies. Have you had my chocolate brownies before?
No, not that I remember, no.
You would remember if you had them, so I think you probably never had.
I'm excited. Those are fighting words.
I know. Well, my chocolate brownies are like the best chocolate brownies. They're so easy to make, but there's a couple of steps I'm going to walk you through. So I've done a salted caramel chocolate brownie.
Oh, lovely.
Done a little take on it. In my opinion, your brownie should be crisp on top, but dense and fudgy on the inside. Rich, decadent, chocolatey.
That's lovely.
Isn't it?
Oh, lovely, yeah.
Going to talk you through it.
Okay.
So 200 grams of dark chocolate. You're going to melt that with 250 grams of butter.
Mm-hmm.
Now, again, I kept it really simple. And normally I would have bowls and pots and pans and sauces.
Yeah.
I was like, no, how are we going to do this? In the microwave.
Yes.
You're going to take a jug or a bowl or a mug.
Microwave is our friend.
It is our friend today. 200 grams of dark chocolate, 250 grams of butter. Melt those until they're together. Then into that, you're going to put 300-ish grams of caster sugar. You're going to crack in. And it's really important that the caster sugar goes in directly after the chocolate and the butter have melted together because you need that heat to dissolve the sugar or else mouthfeel, you feel these little granular pieces of sugar in your mouth and you don't want that. So the sugar has to go next. Then into that, it is the tiniest amount of flour and cocoa. 70 grams of flour, 70 grams of cocoa. Tiny amount in comparison to other recipes. And that's what gets that texture. And then into that, you're going to crack 4 eggs. Make sure the eggs go last because if the heat... And they go into the heat, they'll scramble.
Oh, yes.
You get scrambled eggs. So put those last. And then in the oven for 25 minutes. But there's a secret. After 18 minutes, you just take out the tray.
Yeah.
Call it my magic shake. You give it a shake, shake. And it cracks the top. Just
okay.
A little bit. And that's what gives it that gorgeous texture. And then I sat on these little discs of chocolate salted caramels. I bought a jar of really good quality salted caramel sauce from the supermarket.
Yeah. These are salted caramel discs.
Yeah,
so like kind of big chocolate buttons.
Totally. Yeah.
But salted.
Exactly. With salted caramel on the inside. So I put those just sitting on the top so you get that little salted caramelly bit and then the salted caramel sauce over the top, a little bit of creme fraiche, a little bit of cream, a little bit of ice cream and it's just, it's gorgeous.
It's delicious.
I think they're really nice.
It is. I can't wait to eat all of this at the weekend.
Yeah.
Just need somebody to make it for me.
No, wrong way around, Kieran. You are cooking. You are cooking on Sunday.
Well, I might cook some of it. But
one or the other.
But I mean, the wash up will have to be done by someone. That's all I'm going to say. You know, we can't leave it there till Monday. Ashing, thanks a million. Happy Mother's Day in advance.
Thank you very much.
Enjoy the extra hour of sunshine in the evening.
I cannot wait for it.
Neither can I.
Living
Neither
for
can
it.
I. Ashing Arkin, the TV chef and the mindful eating coach. Lots of really, really simple advice, but delicious, delicious food. So keep an eye on Ashing's social channels as well as our own, and you'll be able to follow it and treat the person, the special person in your life this weekend.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.